conference we have coming up in our church. Probably a long commute. Probably won't make it over. But if you do want to come, let us know, and we'll give you a special welcome. Then a website, the Organic Outreach website, which has a lot of free videos, training resources. The only thing on the websites I have that cost anything are books with a publisher, because I can't give those to them. I can't give the content for free. But everything else that I have on any of my websites is always free content. And so, and then the third one is Shoreline Church. And on Shoreline Church, we have our small group studies, personal reading guides, Bible reading guides, preaching materials, all the artwork we do for all of our series. Everything's on the website. Everything's free. You can download it, use anything you want. And so even the PowerPoint stuff I use for my sermons. And again, I never use someone else's sermon. I encourage them to never use my sermon, but you can take ideas and then create it and pray and form your own. You know, Solomon said a long time ago, there's nothing new under the sun. And so the idea that I'm going to do something that someone's never done before, I'm going to do a sermon series on prayer. You know, this has been done before. I can learn from others, but I need to let it fit my setting. The other card is just my business card, but on there is the our church service times. If you happen to be in the Bay Area of San Francisco and you want to come by and visit, somebody just told us they're coming into town, they're going to come by and visit for a service. And so, and then also the church number, and also the my assistant's email address. My email address is my assistant's email address, because everything goes through her first. And so if you want to get a hold of me, that's how you do that. So those cards are back there if you want to grab those. If not, no worries. But if you do, feel free to take one of those. Well, last night we were walking back after, I think, our fourth coffee and tea time of the day in the evening. If that's not funny, I don't know what is. I'm surprised they can sit through an hour-long session without having to run to the bathroom. But we were walking in. Jonathan and I were talking as we were walking back, and he made the observation. He said, "It seems like everybody went to their rooms earlier tonight." And he said, "Perhaps they're wanting to hear what the other person talked about in their session." And I said, "Perhaps they're practicing what we preached." But anyways, some of you later on will figure out what I'm talking about there. And if you don't, you're in big trouble. Ask your neighbor. But we're going to talk about the funny bone of the leader and the back of the leader. And these two things together, I put these together as our last talk, because these are two things that are just very, I think, very positive, in the sense that we need to learn to take delight, to rejoice, to laugh, to relax. And as leaders, sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. We need to be able to look at that. So we're going to think about that. And also the back of a leader, we're going to talk about what is it that we're called to bear? What is it we're called to carry? Because oftentimes, as leaders in the church, we carry all sorts of things we shouldn't. We carry things because other people say, "I think you should." But Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I talk to so many people in ministry who say, "The yoke I'm carrying is not easy or light." And yes, usually because they're not carrying the yoke of Jesus. They're carrying the yoke of the church, the denomination, their parents, the people in the church who give lots of money. All kinds of yokes we can carry. But if we carry the yoke of Jesus, it will feel right. It doesn't mean it'll be easy, but it'll feel like, this is what I'm made to do. So we're going to talk about laughing and rejoicing. We're going to talk about carrying the right load. And hopefully we can leave this final session just kind of learning how to examine that part of ourselves, so we can keep our spirits up and joyful. Because if in ministry you can't laugh, if you can't have a sense of peace along the way, you're not going to make it. It's too much. And so those are things we're going to think about, and sure, you were going to kind of open with a reflection as we close.
I really wanted to finish where I began, reflecting on the love that we have in the walk, and the daily walk that we have with God. And I was thinking, Steve had asked a question last night about, what about all the different kinds of personalities that self-examine? Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted just to open with a story about myself at a time when I was doing some self-examination, and God reminded me about his love. This is what was happening to me at the time. I had this heart for God, and really wanted to keep growing and changing and coming sincerely before the Lord. And we would go to a conference, much like this, where leaders would go, and we had the privilege of having Henry Blackaby. One of the books that is being sold is by him. And we would actually hear him a few years in a row, and we would get invited. You had to be invited to this conference. And so one particular year, I was really trying to make sure that my mind wasn't fled, you know, that I was really growing in the Word and doing the things that were right before God. But I found that as I was self-examining and as I was moving toward that direction, I was beginning to lose some of the joy. And so, you know how sometimes speakers, you can't get that moment just alone, but I had it. And I had my name tag on, so I was with Henry Blackaby. And I remember he called me by name, and I said, can I talk to you about something? And I'm just kind of heavy-hearted because I've got this plan. I'm reading the Bible, and I'm reading. I have this kind of goal that I'm really trying to read this much of the Bible each day. And he kind of listened to me, and then he was much older than me and very much almost like a father or grandfatherly figure towards me at the time. And he just kind of smiled at me, and he said, Sherry, you've forgotten something. And all this desire to read huge chunks of the Bible, that there's a whole universe in one verse. I thought, And that's all he said. So we got back to our hotel room, and there was just this heaviness on my heart that I wanted to meet with God and press in and find out what was God speaking through Henry to me. And so I said to Kevin, I don't mean to be funny here, but I just really need to be alone. It was like 11:30 at night. So I said, I'm just going to go into the bathroom. I just want you to know I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. So I went into the small bathroom. I remember it very vividly. And there was very little room, but I grabbed a pillow. And I put myself up right next to the toilet. Sat on the ground, and it was the toilet and me. And I just pressed into God. I said, oh, God, you know my heart. You know I wanted to see this person of the Word, and where have I gone wrong? And that word, you know, there's a whole universe and one verse of God just kept coming. So I said, oh, Lord, if you have a verse for me that would show me the whole universe, would you do that right now? And, you know, I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I know when the verse came. It was 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us. And I was broken. I realized that was all about my self-effort. But the foundation of everything that I do is God's love for me. And then everything that I do out of it comes out of that love. And I have to tell you, that moment next to the toilet is very sacred for me. And it has changed my life. And now that verse has become my life verse. And so just an exhortation to all of us as we go on and we self-examine and to make sure that we do it with that understanding of the love of God. That's the foundation. That's the umbrella. And when we move in that, we move in God's love and his power. We'll walk with
him. Yeah, let's pray together. Lord, as we gather for this final session, and in just a short time, these brothers and sisters are going to be scattering all around the country in every different direction. And we have this one more time together, not just to do these topics and get them done and check them off the list and fill in blanks on an outline, but we really do want to learn to live with examined lives, to cry out, search me, O Lord, and know my heart, and to not do it in a legalistic way, and to not let this become some sort of a, Lord, every time you give a good gift, the enemy wants to turn it into bondage, and we don't want that to happen. We want to just have a freedom that as we go through our days, as we're driving down the road and just saying, I need to take some time to examine my mind and think about how I'm doing to really grow my mind for you, Lord, and I need to examine my hands and make sure I'm serving. And Lord, let this become a lifestyle and something that would be a tool that we could use to let your Spirit do what only your Spirit can do, to search us and to know us and to show us, and by your power and through the grace of Jesus to transform us, to grow us to be more like him. And Lord, we confess to you that we are in this journey of sanctification and becoming more like you, and we have not arrived yet, but we long day by day to become more like Jesus. And so lead and guide us, and let the words in this time speak to people where they are. And Lord, my final prayer is that people would not leave here with 25 or 30 action items and goals for change in their lives, but that we would just leave with one or two words from your Spirit and from your scriptures to guide our lives. And when those kind of come into line, we can take one or two more and just to let you day by day transform us and work within us. So bless this time and speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jack, I'm confirming our official finish time is 11:45. Okay, good. You're up.
Great. Well, let's do some self-examination. Let's begin with God's word. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Mm. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Proverbs 15:13-15. Nehemiah 8:10 says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink. Mm-hmm. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then Psalm 126, verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Mm-hmm. And let's do our symptoms check. Do you need to laugh more? Let's find out. Yeah. I find myself resenting people who laugh a lot and who are joyful. Especially other pastors or church leaders. When I look in the mirror, I often see sadness on my face, and I realize that I've lost my sense of joy. I can't remember the last time I laughed so hard that it hurt. When I join a group, things always seem to get more serious instead of fun. I wish I had a couple of people whom I could trust so much that I could let my guard down and totally be myself. But I can't because I'm a pastor.
Well, there's a number of things that we want to share, and if you look in your outline there, I'm going to kind of mix around some a few of these, but just share a couple of thoughts about the funny bone of a leader. You see in your outline, it says, the church is a funny place and church leaders are funny people. Well, that's always true, even when they don't know they are and even when they're not trying to be. I had a little laugh just as the guys were singing the CRCA song and watching Jack over here on the computer trying to get the words up. Watching Jeannie watch Jack. I had my own little comedy. So you can't plan that. It was beautiful. What I was really hoping would happen is when the very last chord of the last song was ringing in the air, the words would come up on the screen. But he wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to quit. And so Jeannie would be like singing, kind of like, there she just kind of,
we love Jack and
Jeannie. and an authentic couple, you know, but, you know, and if you don't see the humor in just the normal stuff of life and ministry, you're in trouble, you know? And when you do, it can save your life. At the introduction to each of these chapters in this book, Leadership from the Inside Out, I wrote a little journal entry, and really what it is it's a combination of thoughts that go through my own mind, but also lots of pastors through the years as I talk with pastors. And this is one that when I wrote this, I was thinking of some different experiences we'd had in our church. But just think, listen to these words. This is a journal entry of just, it could be any old pastor. I need to laugh more than I do. I sat with a woman whose husband, the man who said, for better and for worse, ran off with another woman half his age. I cared and prayed and felt helpless to relieve her deep pain. I battled through a board meeting with a gifted group of leaders who couldn't resolve a critical issue. I did a funeral for a 7-year-old boy whose body had been ravaged by leukemia. I processed ministry challenges with a volunteer who does not really fit where she is serving. Have you ever had to fire a volunteer? As a week comes to a close, I could really use a friend who would talk with me, laugh with me, go see a comedy with me. Sometimes I feel that if I can't laugh, I will lose my mind. And some days laughter is hard to come by. You ever feel like that? The longer you're in ministry, as you walk with people, we get to be in some of the most joyful, exhilarating, wonderful moments. We get to stand with families as children are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and see the faces of parents and family. I mean, there's nothing like it. We get to stand and watch a bride come down an aisle, get that unique place. I mean, we get the vantage point of some of those wonderful things in the world. We also get to walk with people through their deepest, darkest moments of pain. And we get to hear deep, dark things that some folks will never share with anybody else, but they come to you because you're their pastor. You're their pastor's wife, and you'll understand. And they open their soul, and they show you very dark places. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And so in the midst of all of that, If we can't learn as leaders in the midst of the deep, serious things God called us to do, to play, to laugh, to enjoy life together, we're going to be in trouble. And you have to know the right time. There's moments, there's times to be very sober and very serious. You know, there's times to sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." There's times to sing the CRCA song, right? That's not a communion song, right? And don't try it, okay? I don't know everything, but I know that much, okay? And so, you know, we have to discern that. You know, one of the greatest places to be able to just break loose and laugh is a place like this. And it's been so fun to listen to, around the tables during meals, to listen to people laugh, around coffee time, to listen to people laugh. The women pretending they were laughing because we were really authentically laughing. Do you know their first laugh was a fake laugh, guys? Did you know that?
It was all.
Yeah.
But just so you know, we only did that once.
Okay. The rest was real. But there's something wonderful about that. When we were doing the great race, one of the funnest things about that for me was we were walking from place to place. And getting to talk with each of the different people, to talk with Dan, to talk with Kath, to talk with Jeannie, to talk with, I don't think I talked to Sherry much actually, because we talk all the time, but to kind of, between the different events, just the walking and talking and sharing life and kind of laughing together and waiting in line to do the puzzle, which was actually really fun and funny, so we could tease the group behind us. And, you know, just all those little moments that make an experience like this.
Kevin, yeah.
Why you didn't hop in your car? Because that's cheating. And so, I'm not a priest. I can't absolve you of your sin. You have to deal with that with somebody else. But there's something about finding a place to laugh in the midst. I mean, all of you have come from situations that have, you know, deep challenges and issues, and you'll go back to those. But it's good to laugh. And we've got to learn to figure out how we're going to punctuate our lives and ministries with laughter, with joy. Do a study in the Bible on joy, rejoicing, celebration. You know, the celebration was built into the very fabric of the Hebrew culture and the rhythm of their years. They built in celebrations and festivals. And we're not as good at that as they were. We have certain, you know, we have Christmas and Easter, and sometimes those aren't really terribly fun. You know, I mean, they become work for us as leaders, especially because we're planning all the services and working hard to get ready. And oh, do we make times to have fun and to play and to enjoy life? For us, you know, one of the things that Sherry and I have done through the years is we've really tried to connect with church leaders who we have fun with. And so we'll actually, there's some people, there'll be people in your life that you know when you're with them, you're investing in them. Do you know, as a leader, you know what I mean? There's certain people that when you're with them, you'll invest in them. And that's the vast majority will be you giving to them, right? And there's some people who, when you're with them, they really pour into you and they mentor you and God feeds you through them. And then there's people you're with that you just can be together with. And there's big expectations, and you can share and you can laugh and you can be serious or you can just kind of hang out. And you need people like that. And even if you're scattered around the country, there, you know, God may, you know, are there people in your congregation? Are there other leaders in your community that might not even be from the CRCA, but, you know, you could talk with and pray with and build up a friendship with? We have friends who live right next door to us. And he's a pastor of a Presbyterian church just down the road. And we were actually saying got to give them a call and have them come over for a barbecue and just have spend time with them because we haven't spent time with them for a while. And we're building a friendship with them. They don't come from our same, you know, they're not in the same denomination, but they love Jesus. And so are we making room for that and making space for that? Creating space to laugh, to play, to have fun in your life and in your ministry. One of the things I try to do as a leader is I try to create space for fun amongst the leaders within the church. We had a meeting one time, and it was funny. Myself and one, there was another leader in the church, and he had just gotten a really nice, expensive blender, and he was making smoothies, you know, like with fresh fruit. And he was so excited about his smoothies, and he for like 3 or 4 days, he was a little bit obsessive. He kept talking every morning. He came in to talk about his smoothies and how delicious they were, and it was very important to have the fresh fruit that he was using. We had to listen to his stories about his smoothies, and so I said, well, at our next meeting when our leaders get together, I said, why don't you bring your blender and bring all the stuff and make people smoothies? I said, I'll bring my blender and I'll make some malts and shakes. You know what that is? I make a proper dessert, not with all this fruit in there. And so we both brought our blenders and we had a little contest, and he made smoothies and I made malts, and we put some 1950s kind of Americana music on, and we wore those little paper hats You know, like they used to make in the old diners. I don't know if you remember that, but they had little diner hats. And so, and we just served our leaders. And one of the leaders came in and said, "What is this all about?" See, the louder you laugh, the more you identify. Yeah. I said, "Well, we're just having, before we start the official meeting, we're just having a little fun. What would you like, a smoothie or a shake?" "I don't want anything." "Well, come on, just jump in." "No." And they kind of walked off and sulked. And they weren't going to, they would not have any fun. They refused to have fun. I actually went over to them. I said, "Can we talk for a minute?" I took them outside. And I said, "You know what? You got to lighten up." I said, we're going to get to all the business. We're going to take care of all the things on our agenda. We're just having a little fun. We're not here for fun." So I slugged them. No, I didn't. I'm just telling you what goes, sometimes goes through my, I hugged him. It's okay. No. And this person later on apologized to me, but it was like weeks later. And they sat at the table and they wouldn't have a malt and they wouldn't have a shake and they wouldn't have a smoothie. And you're going to run, but it was just, I had this idea, let's just do something kind of fun. When's the last time with your session, you know, when they came in, you surprised them with something? and can I tell you something? Don't you know your culture. I'm not telling you exactly what to do, but just to do something different and do something fun, and you'll be surprised at some of the folks that will actually kind of let down their seriousness, and they'll and I'll tell you one more thing about humor too. I know that for us, we always had a yearly congregational meeting, which was just an occasion to fight. And we'd have a yearly congregational meeting where people would, that's when they could come and say what they didn't like. And after about 5 or 6 years, I changed that. We changed the whole culture of that because it was just a very, people didn't want to come. It was very negative. It was very critical. But we had one guy in the church who always came with one or two things, and he just would come and unload his frustrations, and he'd want to get everyone up, and then he'd want to make a recommendation to vote on something, and he'd always have some little plan. And the first couple of years I was there, he would come with his, you know, and somebody had told me, this guy's going to come with something. And he'll always want to surprise you. I'll ask if he can place it on the agenda, and then he'll try to cause trouble. And he's a member of the church, so apparently he has the right to do that. But so he came and brought us things. And so as he was, and I can't even tell you exactly how I did it, but as he would raise something, I would interject an appropriate joke. And that may sound strange, but I mean, I just would kind of, you know, and I kept the thing so light that by the time he got done with his whole thing, it just fell flat. Because what he was looking for is emotional tension and frustration. That's one thing, if people come with a real concern, they present it in a healthy way. He was just trying to cause trouble. And after a couple of years of, and I, some people have the temperament to do that, some don't, but I just would just kind of, "Oh, you know, hey, thanks a lot. And as a matter of fact, I wouldn't be like a silly joke. It would be something kind of related to what he was talking about, but I'd kind of keep it light. And then after a couple of years, he stopped coming to the congregational meetings because he wasn't going to get to spin things negative. But we have to guard the culture of our churches and guard the culture of our homes. And sure, you're going to speak.